Good morning, everybody. Here, talk about value. You're getting 2 for 1 today. All right, guys, it's all yours. All
right. I thought it was funny that you made that joke, because the first time I taught senior youth, they actually did that for me. And they put up 5s and 4s, and I said, oh, my gosh, I couldn't expect it. But today, me and Jesse are going to be continuing on Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 21. And the verse we're going to be focusing on is as follows. It says, do not lag in zeal, but be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. And I also have the New King James, which my Bible is in the New King James, so I'm going to go through this as well. It says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I'm going to read something real quick. It says, because this verse begins describing the manner in which that we are to serve, I'm going to start by going to the end of the verse and speaking on serving. That was going to be a little review from Wednesday from you guys that were here. I had no idea my dad was teaching on that. I showed up late, and I said he stole all my notes. So for those of you who are here, just be aware that you're going to get a little refresher. The way that my dad, though, ensured that me and my siblings were well-versed in the art of service was kind of to sign us up for everything and anything that we could possibly do so. And now, personally, he wouldn't write our names on the list. It came in the form of a look that I don't know if anybody else may have received, but it looked kind of something like his eyes got wide and he looked deep into your soul. And then I'd hear it in the back of my mind. I'd be like, you better volunteer. You better volunteer to serve. You have no excuse not to do this. So me and my brother, we got well-versed in the art of serving pretty quick. But kidding aside, I'm going to start with just defining the word as it was used in the Greek by Paul. It's serving, pronounced douliontes. It says, to serve as a slave, having all personal ownership rights assigned to the owner, to willingly give over the prerogative to be self-governing. So it's a pretty deep, detailed definition, but it's something that my first thought after reading it, what brought me to the, when do we start serving? So our service began the day we became a Christian. We had forgo all our own willingness to serve for ourselves, and then we had given that all to God. Surrendered our own freedom, surrendered our own prerogative, our own lifestyle, our own manner in which we wanted to do things, and that was sacrificed that day and given to God. Now, as Christians, a lot of times we like to think that as soon as that happens, oh, I'm good to go. My service is done. I can live joyously, praising the Lord every day, and all the work's done. But we all know that's not the truth. Our work is just beginning that day. Our service has just begun. Everything is to follow from that day forward. So as we surrender this freedom, we start getting into the idea that when we're going to start serving, how we're going to do it. But I guess on the contrary, when the world starts seeing how we need to serve and the world starts looking at the sacrifice we made, the freedom that we sacrificed, they start saying, well, you call yourself a slave to God, but what does that really mean? It's not slave in the sense that the world uses it today's day and age. It's a little different. And in the truth, they say, well, that's you're under a tyrant, even. That's a tyrannical rule that you can't live a certain way in a certain lifestyle the way you want to choose. How can you live like that? That's not real freedom. That's not, you are enslaved, and that's not the truth. The truth of the matter is that true liberty comes under God. So as we go and as we accept that, we start realizing that the only way we can really be free, the only way we can really understand what God wants us to do is to be under Him and His leadership. So it doesn't make us a slave in today's sense of the word, but really we're freed from the slavery of sin. It's let me grab my verse real quick. Romans 6:20-23 says, when you were slaves of sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at the time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things that result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin, and you have become slaves of God, you benefit and reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So the first thing we need to realize when we start learning about serving and we have an understanding of what we're going to do and how we're going to do it is understand that we have given ourselves over entirely. That was a decision we made that day when Christ reached out to us and we accepted that offer. Next thing I think we need to realize is serving is a full-time job. It's not something that we do periodically. It's not something we only do in church. It's something we do throughout every day and everything we do. It's something in my house, it was a job. We were the servants to my father. We made jokes quite frequently about how we were slaves, but even more so to God, that we are someone who's going to serve him fully and wholeheartedly in our job, at school, whether we're just doing our daily activities. It's all an act of service, and it's all how we're going to go about it. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human matters." It says everything we do, not even just in church, needs to come under the mentality that we are servants of the Most High God. And then the next thing, when we start looking at serving in a very basic way, is then where do we receive our instructions to serve? We receive our directions to serve first and foremost from the Bible. We can receive also instructions from the Holy Spirit directly, or we can receive them from our leaders in the church, whether it be your elders, your deacons, in some cases, your home group leaders. And that's where we start our services. We start looking for an opportunity of where can I volunteer? When can I open up? Where is my next point? Because if we're not serving, we're not being active. We're not actually fulfilling the role as a Christian. And that was what the title of this message was a lot of times, is acting like a Christian. That's the title above Romans chapter 12, verse 9. So this is how we begin to start acting like a Christian. So for a minute, I'm going to pass it over to Jesse. He's going to start telling us about the how do we serve, or how are we expected to serve.
So taking on from what we're going to get into, I kind of took on the part of how do we not lose our zealousness when we serve the Lord. And the first question I asked myself was, how do we become lacking or lazy with our enthusiasm with Christ? And I came up with three reasons why we do. We become to get into a routine set of mind. The microwave effect, which I'll explain a little bit more later. And we begin to lack in spiritual food and sustenance. So the first one is we all dedicated our lives to God, and when we do that, we also dedicate our time in prayer, worship, and coming to church. But when we've been doing it for 20 years, 30 years, you can get into the, this is when I do it, this is when I do it, it's just what I do. And that can take away from the enthusiasm you have when you come to church. Secondly, we have the microwave effect, which is explained as you get home from a long day of work and no one wants to wait for food. So you just throw it in the microwave, 2 minutes, you're done. You got your food. And a lot of times we can take that same mentality into how we live our Christian life. We pray, we can get into our word, but we don't see fruit from that, and we just give up. We don't have the patience to see it through. And you just continue to ask yourself, is it really worth it when you don't see fruit being produced?
And can I step in real quick? This suits me very well, because I was always somebody that I'd start a task, I'd start learning how to play the guitar, learning how to do something, and then if I didn't see an instant greatness coming from myself, I dropped it just as quick. And I did this all the time. And I think it's something that, as Christians, we got to start really adapting to the idea that we're all doing this in God's timing. He's working within us. He's working as we do and provide the zeal. He's going to go through, and we should have that despite maybe not seeing that fruit all the time.
Well, seeing, from a different perspective, the lump of clay that God had to work with, I was just trying to sense some patience in him so God would have some time.
All right, getting back from that. The last way is because we are not keeping ourselves spiritually fed. If we're not in our word, we're not praying, what else do you expect to happen? We're just not going to have that spirit and enthusiasm we had when we were in our word. So my next question to myself was, so how do we change? How do we become ardent in spirit? And I thought this word was probably the best, was our diligence. And diligence is the persistent work or effort. Persistence is the firm continuance of action in spite of difficulty and opposition. So we need to continue to get into our word and get into worship in our prayer. Because most times when things don't work out, we'll take a step back and say, well, it just seems like it's just not working. And it's not the way you're supposed to. Because if you get into your word, you're going to get that strength and that energy you need to continue on. So I have my first verse, which is Hebrews 6:11-12. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit what has been promised. And I also have Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And I also have Proverbs 13:4. A sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. And all those point back to the fact that if we're diligent in getting into our word and prayer and worship, that we'll reap what he has given. You want to say something? Oh. We will reap what we were praying for.
And just to add a little bit to that, it's the idea that this is our first source of where we're going to seek God. This is the thing that a lot of times I know I get in my own routine where I get busy, I'm going through, and I see myself, oh, well, I can stop praying for a moment. I don't have time for that, or I don't have time to go through and read my word. And I think Martin Luther, I was reading quotes as I was getting ready for this teaching. He said, I have so much to do today that I'll spend my first 3 hours in prayer. And it shook me. And I was like, oh, well, I'm so busy, I'm so going through these things, but why wouldn't I start then by bringing out that prayer, by really getting into my word to prepare for that to-do list that's going to come, all the things that are going to lie ahead.
And kind of taken away from that, we have to, and I mean, he already said it in his notes, we have to remember who we're doing this for. We're not doing it for ourselves, we're doing it for God. And when we keep that in mind, we're just going to continue to have that enthusiasm we need to push through and to have that diligence. So I do have...
Yeah, and then when we started looking at zeal, me being the guy that I am, I started looking at how do we define it? Because you don't want to lose that zeal as a Christian, but when I think of zeal, I think of I think of Sammy. And it was funny, I think of him playing a sport or something, grabbing me by the shoulders and shaking me, and just being excited and really just over the top and in my face. And I said, well, I need to really get a definition of what it means to be zealous or be ardent. And the definition was a boiling or a passion. And it wasn't just a regular boiling. It was a boiling over the edges. So it was describing something that was so much so inside you that it had to come out and it had to go over. And immediately I said, well, that's not me. I'm not in your face. I'm not shaking you at the shoulders. I'm pretty laid back. I'm quiet. So I started really praying about it and seeing, well, zealousness doesn't always mean in your face, shaking you. It means sometimes that it's just that deep passion where, for me, I've always loved study and I've always liked gaining information. So just because you're not the person that's the loudest person, excited, jumping up and down all the time, doesn't mean that the Spirit hasn't moved in a way where you're filled with zeal for God. It's something that's inner to you, that's something that's built up as you start learning, as you start gaining knowledge of who God is, what he's done for you, and what you want to do then for him. Anything you want to add?
Not right now.
No. Sorry. You burned through real quick, so now I'm kind of going off the whip here.
Doing good.
I appreciate that.
On a roll.
Oh, man.
Get
yeah.
Get zealous.
I'm sorry. I truly, that was what I had wrapped up for you. I know it went quick.
Say something.
I know.
You know, one of the things in seeing, you know, my boys up here that I still instill in them now is that we're able to, as parents, we're able to, as a body, see them from little kids, and now here they are. And the vision that I instill, and I often do it, is when the little kids go up front in front of the body. I says, you know, Christ did what he did because of the hope that was set before him, the vision that he had for others. You know, we serve God, and we serve in building his kingdom for others. And I often tell Shane and Jesse, I said, there's your vision. There's your net that you're casting for all these little ones. Because you're the ones that are going to be zealous and ardent in speaking into their lives. It isn't just about doing it here now, but you're casting that net and casting that vision to be able to have that knowledge, to be able to steer them clear of all the storms of life that they're going to face. Because all these little kids, they're under their parents' covering, just like we're under the church's covering when we come into the church. And we get to experience just a sense of peace and joy and, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. We have that sense of protection even in the midst of the storms. And there's going to be storms that are going to try to rob them, steal from them. They're going to try to, you know, destroy them. And that's what you're fighting for. That's where you're being zealous for. It's not just being zealous in the act of service. You're being zealous for people. For people. It's about the people. It's not just about, oh, yeah, this is what I did today. This is what I did today. Put a face to it. You know, when you go to work, you're serving your employees. There's people. It's not just about being and excelling at the best, but you're serving people.
And I think about when we do serve, we have to have the right heart attitude. My mom always brings in the heart attitude of how we do things, because we can't just do it because we're doing it. We have to do it because it's furthering the kingdom. If we're here to just praise God, then we're just here. It's not. We have to have the right heart attitude behind our service to, for it to even mean anything.
And that's something that really does stand out to people. Is in my job, I see a lot of people, the morale isn't always where I want it to be. And me being the leader, I'm looking at these guys, and I'm trying to find a way where I can motivate people and see it. And then they realize the first way I can do it is to show them that I can zealously serve, that I can come in, and I can do the job with them. I can come in and I can try to motivate them. And if my attitude's wrong, if I'm there every day just like, oh, this place sucks, my boss, he's ridiculous, tyrannical, I can't even deal with it sometimes. It's a scary dude every time he walks in the building. But if they see a confidence in what you believe, if they can see the truth that's inside you, that's the motivation for how you're really supposed to serve. And that attitude, that zealousness is going to start speaking to people. And it's going to be infectious in the way that it comes out, especially at work. Because I can see the mentalities of people shifting as I start just getting in, start to get to know them, start to show them what really means, try to motivate them, even to tell them how they need to work. Say, hey, I know you're down right now. I know things aren't always good, but it's something that you need to pick yourself up. We're going to work on this, and your attitude is going to change. You're going to do better, and we can do it. And I think that was something that I'm starting to learn more and more as I try to lead as best I can a team of people. So,
okay.
Became a family affair.
What do you mean, oh man? When Jesse was talking about watching your heart attitude, it is the one thing that I constantly would speak to them about. You know, my husband was talking on Wednesday, why do we do what we do? And Shane and I were talking about it a little bit, and he was like, what do you mean by why? I said, well, you have to realize people do things for many different reasons, whether it is they want to be seen by other people, whether they think they're better at something than somebody else, are they looking for praise and recognition, or are they doing it out of guilt? So that's why you have to, you know, check your heart attitude. What is it that you're doing and why? You know, why do you do that? You know, because according to the word, we're to do all things as unto the Lord. You know, and that right there will keep your heart in the place that it needs to be. It's not that we're not in this flesh and that we don't have moments that we don't get angry or frustrated or look out into a crowd of blank faces or, you know, see people who don't appreciate the things that you do. Listen, this whole world is going to be full of that. But we keep our heart right and keep our eyes focused on and fixed on the Almighty God.
This is Yeah.
It's just one of the things I taught him. If you're going to teach, you want to talk about it. So this is what we talk about when we're in the house, is the teaching that's coming up. And as my wife was saying, the why do you do what you do? The question you also have to ask is, there's another side of that coin. Why don't you do the things that you need to be doing? Why don't I serve? Why don't I take part in that? It's just as important to ask why you don't do something. What's holding you back from doing that? Is it fear? You know, I often tell my wife that she's going to be on a stage speaking to many women. She goes, oh, no, I'm not. No, that's not me. Well, why isn't it you? Why isn't it you stepping out, going beyond your borders? You know, what's holding you back? You have to ask questions and ask God, why don't I do that? You know, my son's a perfect example. I'd be giving them that look when I'm up front in the sanctuary getting ready to pray before the service. And, you know, after a few times, he knew that, so he just hold his head down. You know, he doesn't want to see the look. And I'm like, why don't you want to be up there? It's just as important to ask why you don't want to be up there. What's holding you back? You know, is it, well, I don't want to be in the forefront. Maybe God's calling you to be in the forefront. Maybe he's calling you to be that target that everybody's going to be able to criticize because of what you said or what you did. That's something that you have to take into consideration. He may be calling you out, and it's not going to be easy, but he's still calling you out, calling you forward into something that you may not even realize that he's going to give you that gifting as you step out.
Another thing I have to add, thinking about that now, is most times we would get that look, and it'd be like, oh, I don't know. Do I really want to do that? And it turned into, you know, I'm just going to do it. You know, you get in that, you know, I have fun doing it anyways, and I'll probably get blessed by it. Why wouldn't I do it? And most of us don't think about the blessings we do get from it before we even think about why we don't want to do it. We think, I got other things to do. And you're like, well, when you do it, you end up getting blessed from it, and you end up having a better time doing that than what you would have done before.
You realize the reward that you would be sacrificing as well, because every single time we're doing something unto God, we get blessed for it, like he said. And the love that we need to have, this is the love in action, is that service. It's that zealous service. It's not even just a regular type of day-to-day going through and putting out the motions for it. It's going through and really just giving your heart to something because you know what's at stake. You know these people out there that you need to love. You know, as you're building up the body, that as you start zealously serving, then other people can start being motivated, and we can start building on that even more.
They kind of...
Well, I guess that may be a few minutes early, but we had a... Oh, Pastor Doug.
You're not done yet. We got
to... try to get off the hook.
Now's an opportunity for some questions, right? They have a five-minute video, but we have about 10 minutes for questions. Amen? I'd like to throw something in, if you don't mind. That to start from the very beginning, this whole thing is about love and action, right? So we have to take a look at zealousness being part of love. To be zealous about something, you have to love it. I mean, I'm very zealous about soccer.
I don't know anything
about soccer. I'm not zealous. What, some guy named Felipe kicks a ball around the field? I don't know anything about it. How can I get zealous over that, right? Look, he kicked the ball. Look, he's going to run to the other end. I have no idea. I don't love the sport. Now, you get something that you love. I love boxing. I love to watch boxing. I get zealous over it. I holler and yell, right? It's something that you love. The same way, if you can't get zealous for God, who can you get zealous for? What you're saying is, I can't be zealous for you, God. It means I don't love you, God. Think of what he did for you. Back it up 1 second. Why should I be zealous? My God, I'm saved, right? I mean, I wasn't as bad as Kenny, but, you know, I was a pretty bad person. And God sent his son to die for me, right? All my sins are forgiven, and believe me, they were many. Still are coming, right? It's not like my sins are over. I wish it were, but we still sin, right? He's there. He's given me everything that I have, right? Life everlasting. If he give me nothing more than salvation, he's given me more than I deserve. Now, if we stop and think all that God has done for us, how can we help but love him? How can we help but be zealous, right? Zealous over something you love, and that's what this whole thing was about, was action, right? Love in action. And that's where it starts. You have to be zealous. Zealous, I think they give it, one of them give a great example. Zealous isn't who yells the most, right? You remember the priests at the altar of Baal? 200 or 400, some of them, there's a whole bunch of them running around here, hollering, screaming, cutting themselves, yelling. Did that help? No. Some people think a fervent prayer is one that you can out-yell everybody else. God is not deaf, right? Sometimes it's the simplest. In my life, I've seen that sometimes the simplest prayers are the most effective. Because it's not what you say that makes a difference, is it? It's what God does. And I think that's what these guys are bringing forth, that zealousness starts with you. Well, there just doesn't seem to be anything happening today here. We'll get up and make something happen, right? If you're the one that God showed that nothing's happening there, God showed you that for a reason, get up and be zealous, right? If not, go home. There you go. Pastor Don. Give Jesse. He's got one on him. Hold on. You can use.
Jesse, you know, is going to UD. Yeah. He's a college man now. Ooh. Saw him the other day, had a fur coat on, hat, you know, right. Raccoon.
Yep.
He had a little pennant in his hand. Yeah.
We had.
But I want you to tell everybody what you saw and observed, and then were they zealous for what they believed?
Yeah, we had like a little. For my school, we got a new emblem and a new logo, so we had like a little event, which is what I knew it was. And I got there, and it ended up being Catholic Mass. I'm going to put quotes on that because that was not what it was at all. They had the little flags with everyone's different religions going across it. They had the yin-yang symbol, the Judaism star. They had all, there was like 15 of them. And I was like, that's a little different for you to have a Catholic Mass and show all these different religions, because not one of them probably believes the same thing you do. And it was just, it was a lot different from what we do here.
Yeah, it just shows you that the world will have a zealousness for what it believes. So in this political season, you're going to see that for a particular candidate, but it will be. So it just shows you that, you know, are we going to stand up? Are we going to be just as zealous? Not that we have to be obnoxious or what have you, but there are going to be those times you have to stand up and you have to speak the truth, or just even asking questions. But here he is, he's going to a Catholic university, and the view there is no longer Catholicism. You know, it used to be back in the old days that Catholicism was exclusive. Nobody else, you know, I mean, you had to be in that church to be saved, you know, to go to heaven. Well, that's not the case anymore. Now everybody is welcome. So their view has changed, but they're zealous to promote that view. Look at the money they put out so that they could preach to you guys the view that they have.
Yeah.
They bought a bunch of little flags, right? Brought in all these different speakers, right? Mm-hmm. Had an assembly. Was there food there?
Yep.
Yeah. So what you're zealous for, you're going to put your money behind. You're going to put your sweat, your labor behind. So it was a great example, you know, a young man going to college and seeing, you know, what we've been talking about for years, that the world is going to try to cram their view down your throat. And they're going to be just as zealous for their so-called gospel as we should be for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I wanted to say something about what you had said about how do we change. You then said diligence and persistent in spite of the difficulty and the opposition. I believe that, like, here within our church and us as all brothers and sisters, and the changes that we're going through right now within our church, there's only going to be two home groups for us all adults. Are some of us going to sit back and not go to a home group because of the whatever I'm feeling inside for a certain individual? Am I going to check myself? Am I going to pray to God and ask him to get my heart right to be going to where God wants me to go to? Because he doesn't want me to sit at home. He doesn't want me to sit at home and not go and be taught and be whatever for God wants for me for that day, for that Wednesday. Because I don't know about you guys, but I can't go through from Sunday all the way to the next Sunday without somebody pouring into me so that I can grow and so that I can move beyond whatever my hidden issues are. I want them hidden issues to be exposed. I have to go to my leaders to expose them, because if I don't, then I'm going to be stuck. I'm going to be stuck in my old ways. So are we going to be persistent to deal with our own issues? Because really, in all honesty, that's my issue if I say that I'm not going to go to Debbie's house or I'm not going to go to Donna's house. You know, do we want that? No, I want to grow. I want my sisters and brothers, I want us all to grow together. It's not like it's demeaning on you for somebody to say, you know, Pastor Don, to tell me, Esther, you need to really work on this, or you need to overcome in that area. I want to overcome. I want to grow. I want to mature. And I want all of us to do that. I don't want to be stuck in my own laziness. You even brought up laziness. That laziness, that plays a big part in our lives because we choose to be lazy. Ken talked about on Wednesday, we choose to pick up that TV and go into them Netflix for hours at a time. Hours that we are being lazy and not in our word and not asking God what he wants us to deal with. Why? Because we're stuck. We're stuck in a place that God doesn't want us, but we choose to be stuck. We choose to watch that television for 3, 5, 4, 6 hours, sometimes all weekend long. Why? Because we don't want to hear what God wants us to do. And that's where we get stuck at. I don't want to be there. I want to rise to maturity. I want to love my sisters. I want to love Debbie to a deeper level. I want to love Donna to a deeper level. Can I do that on my own? No, I can't. I need to be directed under my leadership. So those of us who choose to be lazy and not go to where we need to go for our study to get us through the week, then so be, boo on you. Because I don't want to be sitting next to somebody that doesn't want to rise up. I want to sit next to somebody that's going to push me to move forward and overcome my issue, because that is my issue.
That's why you sit next to Pastor Don. I like what you said about laziness. A good definition, you want a good definition of zealous? Look around this room. Everybody chose to get up early. Church doesn't start till 10. Church doesn't start for 25 minutes yet. We've already been here in almost an hour, some of us, right? Now that's a zealousness in action, right? Some people can speak very zealously, but it doesn't show up in their life. I have plenty of people that are, everybody has plenty of people that are willing to tell you what to do zealously. They know what you need in your life. They know what you need to do, right? What are they doing? This is where the action part, like Jesse said, that's a heading in this. Love in action. There's got to be some action involved sometime, right? Amen. All right, any other questions? Comments? Kenny.
As you were brought up about Jesse in college, when he had come home, he was very zealous in telling me about it. He hasn't caught yet that if he tells me about it, there's action to be had. Because my question to him was, okay, so why didn't you say something? Why didn't you raise your hand and look for them to say, yes, sir, and put yourself out there? You know, and then my wife says, well, you don't need to be obnoxious, you know, like your dad, where you just blurt it out. But that's the challenge that's before him, and that's what I was pointing out, is that the zealousness that God's going to have, because that's his form now. That's where he's going to be able to live that life in action, that love in action, to bring truth to that mixed up generation there. And when you say mixed up, when they look at these people that have been serving Christ for a long time, in a sense, and they do that, they look to them as if what they just said, what they just did is truth. And it's not. You know, so if you have your eyes open, you see all the misguided people that are there that are buying into that. And here you are
the one that has the truth and knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to end up having to put yourself out there. You're going to be marked as the Christian, you know, the zealous follower of Christ, of Jesus. That's the cost that you're going to end up paying, and that's where he's at. That there's a journey there. He's stuck there for 4 years. And he's not going to turn around. God's not asking him to hide in a corner for 4 years, get your degree, and get out. You know, when we go to a job, it's, listen, what are you doing there? It's going to be something that has to be put into action. And that's the question I've been asking myself with all the different cultures that I'm encountering right now. It's like, okay, so what's going on? I was just telling Joe. Joe actually went with me on a job. We went out to my doctor's house to change some smoke detectors. And he's Hindu. Joe walks in. He sees the Hindu priest and the shrine down in the basement and the chanting music. He thought he stepped into a whole other world. You know, like, what happened? It's like the Twilight Zone. You know, and we were able to talk about that. I said, I don't know what my purpose is for this. But there's a continuation for me building a relationship with this doctor and serving him. And it was in serving him when he asked, well, how much do you charge? I said, I'm here to help you. We can serve somebody that has a very nice house, lives in West Bloomfield, has a lot more money than me. God can call us to serve all walks of life, not just the poor, because he is in need of service. It was a gift. I do this just as, you know, hey, I'm going to help you out. You know, and go from there and see what happens.
Amen. I think he had one thing here. And I will turn it back over to them, and we're going to watch a video. Serving is a full-time job. Zealousy is too. It's easy for you to be zealous for your ministry, for your teaching that's coming up. But what about the other person's ministry? Are you zealous for his ministry? Are you zealous to come and hear him teach, not just yourself? Right? So zealousness is a full-time job as well, and it's for everybody. Zealousness goes towards God, right? If you're zealous for God, you're zealous for his people, all his people. Whoop, I see a hand in the back, and we'll make this the last question. You guys got the video set up? Okay.
Sometimes people have difficulty to see beyond their circumstances and see their circumstances through God's eyes, or to see themselves through God's eyes. And that's where being diligent to pray in that and asking God to open your eyes to see yourself or to see your circumstances through his eyes, and having love and patience with others and making sure you're interceding, you're that circle around them that is praying for them to get to that place.
All right. They have a short video here.
We got a little 5-minute video that we hope can give you some motivation to get ready for today, ready for worship.
Consistency separates winners from wannabes. Diligence makes the difference between all-time greats and one-hit wonders. For the race is not given to the swift or to the strong, but to the one who endures to the end. So pick yourself up, shake your past off, put one foot in front of the other, and do it again. When you hear that little voice saying no one believes in you, you're too far behind, you're too small, this isn't working and this isn't worth it, another voice rises to remind you that the same power, the same strength, the same spirit that raised the Savior from a borrowed grave is alive and active in you. This is your guarantee of complete victory. The same God who delivered you from the lion and the bear can and will deliver this new giant into your hands. So draw the line, take your stand, just like you wielded your weapons last time, do it again. You've been here before. The battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. And if he caused you to triumph back then, be confident. He'll do it again. Yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus Christ is the same. And in his name, you are unstoppable. He's the author and finisher of your future and your fate. All things are started and sustained by his grace. He has never failed, never faltered, never wavered, never lost, and he's not about to start. But receiving this promise requires perseverance. For many are called, but few are chosen. Many begin, few are finished. So don't just do it again. I know sometimes it's hard to keep it moving when you can't see your progress, when you've lost your perspective, when the pain has pushed you past your breaking point. But this is no time to tap out. This is no time to back down. This is no time to turn around. Because the end of yourself is the beginning of him. The end of your strength is the beginning of his. So fix your focus, wake your courage, stir your confidence, and do it again. The dream God put inside of you is free, but to see it come to pass, you'll have a price to pay. Set your face like flint with determination and declare, I will do it again. When it doesn't make sense, I'll do it again. When I have to go against the wind, I'll do it again. When all hell is breaking loose, I will not be crippled by confusion. I will not sway to the cadence of complacency. When it feels like hope has disappeared from the horizon, and I've waited for rain, but I don't see any signs, I will look again, lifting my eyes to the skies. I see a cloud the size of a man's hand starting to expand. And it may start small, but little is much when God is in it. And I know I'll win if I just don't quit. Don't you dare quit. When you've marched 6 laps and still the walls won't fall, take another lap. You're closer than you think you are. You're closer than you've ever been before. Walk on. You've come too far to faint. He who spoke it is faithful to fulfill it. Show up today and the next day and the next day and the next day. Press till something happens. Pray till something changes. Push till something breaks. Say within yourself, whatever it takes, whatever the cost, no matter what they say, no matter what I feel, I've got a job to do, and I will see this through until God's kingdom comes and his will is done in my life. I'm leaving every excuse behind. I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm taking up my cross and following the one who never stopped short, who never surrendered, who said he'd never leave me or forsake me. Jesus is with me always. He came and conquered. He died and rose again. And now he's calling me, causing me, commanding me to breathe again, hope again, trust again, give again, change again, expect again, rejoice again, fight again, rise again, right here, right now, in the name of Jesus, I will live again.
All right, let's give him a hand. It takes a lot of courage for these young guys to get up here first time out, but they did a beautiful job, didn't they? We expect to see a lot more of them, and we will see a lot more of them. Amen? Amen. All right, we're going to close in prayer. We have prayer downstairs, so if you can make it, get down there. Ed is going to close us in. Hang. So, Ed, would you close us, please?
As Kenny said, ask yourself, why can't you be down there? Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for these two young men who serve you, Lord God, that an example to younger men, younger children in this church, Lord God. Let them continue to grow in your wisdom and in your knowledge, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you for their diligence to put this forth. And Lord, we praise you because of the work that you've done in them. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue that work in them, in us. And we ask that you would bless this service and that your Holy Spirit would be here and work through each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.